Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 16th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt Community Services District General Manager Dave Hall. I'm looking at the tie, man.
I know. See?
It's nice. It's a splash of orange.
You have a splash of orange, too.
I know.
It's just...
Yours is more free-flowing.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. Happy New Year, Brian.
And to you, sir. Flowing is the operative here for the...
Well, Jerry Garcia ties usually are flowing, right?
Well, yeah. The water thing.
I
was going to go with flowing.
Yeah.
I was going to say downhill, too. But, you know, the show isn't that long yet.
Yeah, I know.
We just started,
so that was the pie part right there.
Our quote this morning comes from Aeneas Nin. Analysis does not take into account the creative products of neurotic desires. And there you go. Here we go. Oh, boy. Now, last time we were talking about you doing the outreach out at Indianola.
Right.
Any updates on that?
Yes. Yep. We have we had another, let's see, since we talked, we've had at least a couple of our board meetings that were pretty well attended by folks from out there. Board was answering some more questions, making the point that this is only an interest survey. We're only interested to see if they would like to have public water service or not, and not anything else. We don't have any...
The trucks weren't lining up to dig the trenches.
We're not promoting the annexation or extension of services. We're not discouraging it. We just want to know what they think, because it's been a really long process and of removing some of the bureaucratic hurdles so we can get to this place so that it might be a possibility. So we're getting ready to send out a second letter. The board decided they didn't quite get enough response. Some of the public said, well, maybe it was because of X, Y, and Z, and so we included some more information, a little more clarifications, and the board decided to send another letter out to all the residents, all the homeowners out there again, and see where that goes. So
now we're on phase five?
Yeah, phase five of phase 1A.
Of the tentative, yeah. Let's see what's going on. At what point do you go, okay?
I think after this, so this will probably be, I'm guessing, probably the first meeting in March. I'm guessing by, you know, letting it soak for a while, get the letters out, let them soak, come back in, tally them all up. We'll be able to tell the board. I think we'll, at that point, be able to say, okay, we're still not getting quite the interest, or, okay, everybody's, you know, we've got their attention now, and they've thought about it, and we've explained it enough, and they are interested. So it's either move forward to the next step or terminate it and wait till the community, you know, if ever, decides they want to get together and bring us a petition saying they want it.
How many bad puns can you get in one comment?
How many did I have? That was like,
well,
six.
I heard soak. I heard, I heard a bunch of them there. So... there's still enough that don't have the information, or you're just giving time now for them to be able to grasp it? Because I would think you could just send out one of those goofy survey things on the internet and go, okay, if we hit over 70%, we go.
Well,
thank you very much, and please respond.
We considered that
Survey Monkey, a few months ago.
Yeah, Survey Monkey. Survey Monkey would work, but we don't have everybody's email address. That's part of the thing. We do have their mailing address, so we do a self-addressed stamped envelope, you know, and so all they have to do is just check a box, yes or no, and put it in the envelope and mail it, and that's it. So doing that, the first round, we got about 43% of the folks in Indianola area to respond, and in the Redmond Road area, we got about 53%. So the board said, you know, that's great, you know, from a survey perspective, you know, 40 and 50% is great, but it still wasn't enough for us to go down the path of spending some money, because it's going to start, you know, building up some money for the district to go down that path. So board just wants to be very, very sure that there's a vast majority of folks out there that desire public water service. And again, it's okay if they don't. We just have an opportunity to do this, to start this conversation, and that's what the board's doing.
How much time is it worth?
Well, we spent a lot of time on it right now. But
I know. That's the thing. You know, I keep going back to the general plan as a base reference for a lot of us. Okay, you have meetings, and you have meetings, and you have more meetings. You fall back, and you have more meetings, you have more meetings. And somebody says, I wasn't here, I don't know what's, have more meetings. You know, and pretty soon, you know, you're a meeting machine, and you know how to run an efficient meeting, but you're never arriving at a determination, either thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, I would almost think it might be more effective to rent, like, Redwood Acres or something, have a huge barbecue for everybody in that district, and get everybody around in a circle, and, you know, like in the old Coliseum.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, it's over, and you move on, and you're not having to deal with it over such a prolonged period of time, having your attentions diverted.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we're doing. I mean, I hear you that a lot of agencies, they look at the conclusion of a meeting as a result, right? And it's really not. We try to get some actionable things out of it, but we want to base those things on some real metrics. So I get the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, but I think the board, I mean, you can, and this community is really good at loading up meetings with folks to do a thumbs up or thumbs down that really isn't relevant and doesn't really reflect maybe what the whole populace is. So we're trying to do it as objective as we can with these mailers.
You're not running for office, are you?
No.
You mean stacking the audience with people that represent your point of view, even though they're not of that jurisdiction?
It's been done in this area
really?
A couple of times, yeah.
Imagine that. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hall. So what's keeping you awake at night?
Oh,
because obviously
much.
You're not getting enough sleep based on that quick response.
Well, you know, this is, we had a little tease with kind of having a dry-ish December. And so we started down the path of doing some capital projects, and now we've got rain for the next couple of weeks, which is great. But you know, so now we're having to move things around. Yeah,
yeah,
but you know, that's just part of what we do. Actually, from a climate sort of standpoint, we're in pretty good shape. Last week, I think Ruth Reservoir was about 74% full. And I'm sure this rain's got it on the rise, and probably by the end of this storm or the next storm, for sure, it'll be full. So we're doing good water-wise. And in fact, the other reservoirs in our area are doing pretty good, too. Trinity Lake's about 72% of capacity, which is above what it was last year at this time, and which is actually above the average for its whole lifespan. It's a little above where it normally is. Shasta's the same thing. Shasta is also about 72% of capacity. Seems like they're doing a good job of water management this year. Looks like they're going to be picking up some snow, so they may start releasing here in the near future. But things water-wise are looking pretty good.
Did you follow that issue with the water over, was it Tehama County? Maybe, no, Yolo County, where it was a reservoir. That to me seems to make a lot of sense.
You mean for the new reservoir?
Yeah, the new reservoir.
Sites reservoir. Yeah.
That would take overflow during winter and hold on to it, and then use it if needed during the drier times of the calendar.
Well, you know, that's been on the books for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And Prop 1, remember, that was supposed to build all these dams because we were in the middle of a drought and all this stuff, and they haven't spent dime one on any projects like that. That was supposed to do things just like that. So there is a big push over in the valley. I'm not sure what you saw in the paper. Maybe there's some movement recently, but there has been more of a push here in the last year to actually do something with that.
Seems to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The building of an infrastructure around it wouldn't be as much as a dam.
Right. Yep.
Planning and that kind of stuff.
And you know, Oroville's still pretty low, but remember they had to lower it pretty well to do the construction on it. So
yeah, something about having the dam stay intact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, little stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you know. Anyway, if we get a wet January and February, it'll be back up too.
Is there any movement in the southern part of the state, Dave, with your various water districts to develop more capturing facilities so that they do have water?
You know, in the southern part of the state, they're actually doing, so answer your question directly, not so much, a little bit of storage, but more what they're working on is water recycling kind of efforts, and desalinization is still coming up to, yeah, there's several places that's coming up to be more cost competitive. And so there's some places that have been implementing that. In fact, during the drought, when we had these state regulations that said you have to cut so many percent, there was actually a lot of angst by the water districts down in Southern California that actually have spent, you know, millions and millions of dollars on water recycling things, and to say, wait a minute, you know, we're already doing all this kind of stuff. You know, it's not fair to apply the same lens to us as everybody else. But they got that worked out, and the drought went away for now. So they're continuing to work on that recycling and desalinization.
Desalinization, I think some of the early things showed plants on the shore, on the wave.
Yeah.
On the wave slope. Is that the scenario? Is that the current depiction of what they're looking at, or rendition of what they're looking at, or is it something a little less aggressive looking?
It's a little less aggressive looking than a power plant, but it's close. And they usually are right there on the shore. There's one in, it's probably northern San Diego County, that's actually in a little lagoon that used to be the water intake for a power plant that was down there.
So it was an old industrial site.
Yeah, it was an industrial site anyway, but still, those aren't generally very attractive anyway. So, you know, it continues the use.
Well, if we needed one, would the PG&E facility look comparable to what a desalinization looks like?
Yeah, what the PG&E facility looks like now would be comparable, yeah.
So it's not overwhelming, but you're not going to have a picnic.
Correct.
Right next to it, typically.
Yeah, unless you're into picnicking by industrial sites.
Yeah, that's a big crowd drawer.
Well, you know, there is a tourist niche for that, yeah.
Yeah, five people. is that something that the state is encouraging? Or is that something that water districts are having to drive on their own?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. They encourage it, but then they discourage it with regulation. So,
well, that's what I was wondering with the Coastal Commission.
So, at the end of the day, it's the water districts are really taking the bull by the horns, and have for several years. So that was one of the things that you know, bothered some of the water managers is the new, you know, we're making water conservation a way of life. Well, a lot of these districts have been doing that since the 70s. So it's, you know, not really fair to say, oh, we got some new idea here. You know, these agencies have been aware of it and have been working toward it for a long time.
It's just new for Sacramento. Okay, and to be fair, Willits also. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mr. Hull.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull, the General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk Shop presented by Lolita Cheese Company, Redek, and CDH Painting. Dave, some of the changes that are going on certainly are impacting your neighborhood, your area of responsibility. With all the marijuana permitting that has been and hasn't been permitted, are you starting to see any changes in the content, I guess, or contamination, I guess, of the water at the white end before any of the treatment? Has there been a less bloom, less something, more of that? Any change?
At the source of our water down there by Glendale on the Mad River, we haven't seen anything. You know, both the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District that runs that and us at the Humboldt Community Service District, as well as the City of Eureka and everything, we every year have to put together a report to send out or have available to the public that measures all kinds of different water quality constituents, so that the public's aware of what's in their water. And we haven't really seen any change much about that at all, which is a good thing, because I don't think there's probably anything that's probably more important to a population than the quality of the water, honestly. And so there's always a great deal of concern when there's a bunch of illegal activity going on up in the watershed where you actually collect your water. I think there's a couple of reasons that the activities haven't really had the effect that you might think. One of them is, of course, the way we get the water is from what they call rainy wells. So these are pipes that go well down into the stream bed. And so we're not getting water like right off of the surface. We're not diverting it right off of the surface that's full of turbidity and frogs and whatever. You know, we're getting water that's already been, in a sense, kind of processed through all the gravel and sand that's, you know, 10, 20, or, you know, 20 feet below the riverbed itself.
It's kind of like the concept of an aquarium.
It's like a filter. Yeah, exactly. It's like the under gravel filter. Yeah, exactly. So that works good. The second thing is probably a decade ago or maybe more now, Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District and all their customers built a treatment facility out there, because Even though it's an underground water source, in those rare occasions that we'd have, you know, the big giant El Nino flood kind of events and everything, there would be some turbidity that would show up down there in minute quantities. But it was enough for the state to raise an eyebrow a little bit. So we buckled down and built what they call a turbidity reduction facility up there. It's basically a big filter plant that takes care of that water too. So not only are we taking it subsurface way below the river, but it's also going through some treatment and disinfection before it heads off to our municipalities in the first place. So
it's your double redundancy.
Yeah, it's worked well. Up until that point, the City of Eureka, I believe, was the only one that actually had a filter plant over here across from the zoo. That was a facility that actually would take water and actually had sand filters there.
You mean by the formerly proposed parking lot?
Yes. Not the parking lot, the courtyard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what was going to be, it wasn't going to be parked on sand, but okay.
Yeah. But they don't use that facility anymore, except for just in a emergency or something. Because we've got the building and all the piping and everything, but the filters, because the filtering is being taken care of by Humboldt Bay.
I always thought that was a cool building because it had the fountain out in front.
It is cool. The architecture is great.
Very, very 60s-esque, but to have the fountain, I think it was the only fountain I...
And just I'm sure everybody knows, but just in case, that fountain is a recycling kind of fountain. It recycles the water.
It's not aeration.
It doesn't have water come in and then fountain and go on out somewhere. It doesn't waste water at all.
I see. Apparently you had run into that one sometime in the past, huh?
It goes back to the 70s, but yes.
Yeah, gee, imagine that.
And last drought.
And no fish in there either.
No fish. No fish and no soap. Now it has a fence around it, so you can't. Yeah. Kids can't put the Lemon Joy in it anymore.
That's why they have to go down to the gazebo to do it. And imagine that inconvenience. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, you had indicated earlier the construction season has been elongated, and Now it's kind of coming to a little bit of a close. What's the big thing this spring for you? What are you looking to tackle that's going to make a big movement for folks?
Well, we have probably the early thing. The thing that got shut down for us is replacing, I think, our last 600 feet of 10-inch steel water main in the district. You know, we've spent, probably 20 years replacing the steel water main throughout the whole district. You know, it's miles and miles and miles of it. Last 600 feet's right up here in front of Redwood Acres. And so that's...
On the parking lot side? Or
on the parking lot. On the Redwood Acres side.
Okay,
if you go up there, you can see where we started to saw cut it. Now we've had to patch it temporarily. So
is that in the parking lot, or is that of behind the acres? Is it behind the racetrack? Where is it?
No, it's in the middle of Harris.
Ah,
yeah.
So we will all see it and
yes.
feel it.
If you haven't seen it already, you will see it.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's a big one. That's a big one for us for a couple ways. You know, getting rid of that steel water line. It was great pipe in its day, but it's time's up. So. It had to go away. It leaks a lot, and it just needs to go. So that's a good deal. The replacing the South Bay well. This was the well that's been out of service for a couple of years now. It's out on the street right now in the bid packages, and we're hoping to open bids on February 20th, and maybe get somebody started so that we can have a new South Bay well by the end of August.
So both of those two projects would get wrapped up in the next construction season.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
there's a lift. I mean, those sound like they are the completion of some long-term challenges.
They are. South Bay Well, for sure. That was, you know, unexpected a few years ago when it started going south. And the Harris Street water line is just the kind of the end phase of a really long project.
We've got respite at that point, or do you?
Oh, no. Because remember in July, we started all over again. So in a month, we'll start on looking at our five-year capital improvement program. Remember, we have a rolling one. So we will look and see how we're doing this year and what's coming up for next year. And we'll make the adjustments and get through the budget. And in July 1st, we'll start right in on doing some new stuff.
But there'll be new stuff, not completions of
Well, of course, the South Bay well will blend over into next fiscal year. It just has to. Let's see, we've got a couple other things going on too. We've got we're starting a multi-year process, probably a 5-year process of repainting our water tanks. We have 10 water tanks, go from 150,000 gallons capacity up to 1 million gallons capacity, And periodically they need to be repainted and inspected for any kind of damage.
You're going to use Dwayne Flatmo?
Yeah, would be fun to put murals on them, wouldn't it? Yeah, no.
No.
it's a pretty elaborate process, we're just starting in, I believe, on the 7th of February. No. On the 7th of February, we're actually starting the evaluations of 3 of those tanks. And so hopefully through the summer we'll get those 3 painted, and then next year we'll be off to another couple of those for next fiscal year.
You don't have to worry about the lead-based paint. All that stuff was taken care of before?
Not necessarily. On the outside, some of them still are old enough. They do have lead-based paint. So
that's a big baggie.
Well, it is. It's exactly right. And so that's why it's a more elaborate process, because there's testing to see if there is lead on there. And if there is... then that shifts the whole prep work and what you do for all the worker safety issues, all the OSHA issues to make sure that it's all safe and contained and all the rest of that stuff when you're grinding away and getting ready for the thing. The other one is just the thickness. If it's been painted several times, the paint can only get so thick, and then it becomes a weight issue for not only the tank but for itself, and it doesn't adhere very well. So there's a lot of little evaluation factors. That's just what we're starting on next month now, so we'll be ready to actually do some work this summer.
Are those things that your staff does, or is that stuff that no, is contracted out?
It's a very specialized thing, so we've got some folks coming in for that.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.